Jesus' name, amen. We might call Acts chapter 15 a chapter of debate. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is called the Great Love chapter. Well, we might call this chapter the Great Debate chapter, where we see two great debates happen. And the first debate is in the beginning of the chapter and really takes up most of the chapter. And the debate was whether we as human beings can do something or should do something to add to our belief or our faith in order to be saved. The particular issue was that of circumcision. But as I mentioned last week, we could add anything in there. Could be baptism, could be church attendance, it could be giving, could be whatever you want to add in there. Is there something I can add to my faith, to my belief, that I need to do in order to be saved? And there was a group we can call the circumcision group or the Pharisaical group, and they said, yes, add circumcision. Second group was Paul and Barnabas, along with the apostles and the church pastors. And they said, look, nothing can be added to faith, nothing can be added to belief that will ultimately be a part of our salvation or make us saved. All we could do is rest upon what God has already done and receive that into our life. So the first 34 verses deal with that issue. And it was settled, thankfully, because the issue is clear. The thing that saves me is not what I do, it's but what God has already done on the cross. When he died, when he was buried, and when he rose again from the dead. I just need to receive that. I need to accept it by faith, place my belief, trust in what Christ did as the sole means of salvation. Well, when you get to verse 35 down through verse 41, there's a second debate. And this debate doesn't end so well. This debate is not an easy issue. It's a very difficult issue. And it ends up being a debate, an argument, as we'll see, between two godly men. The Apostle Paul and Barnabas. And they have a debate over whether they are going to take John Mark with them on their second missionary journey. It is a debate between godly men. It is what happens when there are disagreements in the church. In this case, it is two godly men, two men who are serving the Lord, two men who want to do what God wants them to do, but the debate becomes so strong really ends up an argument. So let's look tonight at this debate, this argument, really. With number one, we need to identify the reason for their disagreement. If we're going to learn from this, let's identify the reason for their disagreement. Begins in verse 35, which really kind of transitions from the section before it. It says, but Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, where they and many others taught and preached the word of God. So after this debate or argument or disagreement over circumcision, Paul and Barnabas had gone back to Antioch with a letter from the pastors and the apostles, and they are now spending some time there teaching. Notice verse 36. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas. So the sometime later encompasses verse 35. And really kind of deals with the issue of the desire to take that second missionary journey. Sometime later is literally days. Days after this or days later. The day sometimes refers to a literal days or to a longer period of time, and can very easily be translated sometimes later. And actually, it probably includes a couple of months, anywhere from 2 months to 5 to 6, 7, 8 months. From the time we see them at the end of verse 34 till we see the time in verse 36 where we identify Paul's desire to go on the second missionary journey. Notice that in verse 36. Paul takes the lead. He says, let's go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. So Paul comes over to Barnabas after they've been in Antioch now, again, for a number of months. They're preaching, they're teaching there. Remember, Antioch was the sending church of their first missionary journey. Now they're getting ready to take a second missionary journey. And Paul says to Barnabas, look, we need to go back and check on those churches that we had started. Let's see how they're doing. Let's see what's going on in the church. Let's see what's going on in their life. Basically saying, let's see how they're progressing. Are the Christians growing? Is the church that we founded doing well? Are there problems? What's going on in those churches? Let's take another journey. Let's take a second missionary journey. So Paul expresses his desire to Barnabas to take that second missionary journey. He initiates the conversation wanting to go back. But I want you to notice there is a disagreement concerning that journey. Notice verse 37. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him, because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued in the work. The disagreement concerning the second missionary journey. Notice what it is. Barnabas wants to take John Mark along. In fact, the word want, the way it's phrased in the original language, has the idea that he consistently and persistently kept saying to Paul as they talked about going on this journey, I want to take Mark, I want to take Mark, I want to take Mark. And Paul kind of said, I don't want to take Mark, I don't want to take Mark, I don't want to take Mark. And a disagreement arises between the two of them. Now you may ask, why would Barnabas want to take John Mark on a second missionary journey when he had deserted them on the first missionary journey? Well, I think there are two reasons. First of all, it relates to Barnabas' name and his character. Remember, the name means son of encouragement. And that was the character of Barnabas. Barnabas was the first one to receive Paul into the discipleship or into the body of believers. Barnabas was that kind of guy that, you know, if someone's down, he wanted to pick them up. He was the kind of guy that if someone wasn't doing what they should do, he'd be the first one there to help them along the way. So he had the attitude, he had the gift, he had the personality, the kind of guy that wanted to give everybody a second chance, wanted to give everybody the opportunity, even though they had failed before. And there's a second reason. Barnabas and John Mark were cousins. According to Colossians chapter 4 and verse 10, John Mark, and let me call him Mark from this point on, because that's what he was known by, so I'm just going to call him Mark. You know I'm referring to John Mark. Mark was his cousin. You know what it's like when you have family, right? If you don't know somebody and they make a mistake, you might let them go. You know, you're driving down the road, someone cuts you off, you don't know the guy, maybe beep your horn, but then you look and you see it's a relative, and then maybe you think twice. If it's a relative you don't like, maybe beep twice as hard. But you know, things change when it becomes family. Well, this is his cousin. So Barnabas, being a normal guy who wants to encourage someone, now think it's his cousin. He especially wants to kind of help him along and maybe help him further in ministry, help him to grow. So he's kind of insisting, you know what, I want to take him with me. Well, Paul's on the other side. He's unwilling to take Mark on this missionary journey. And I think there's two reasons why he's unwilling. The first reason is Mark is a deserter. He's a deserter. Notice verse 38. Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia. In fact, turn in your Bible back with me to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 and verse 13. From Paphos, Paul and his companion sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John left them to return to Jerusalem. The John there is the same as the Mark in our chapter 15. He was known by both of those names. So they're traveling on their first missionary journey, and you remember what Paul's missionary journeys are like. They were difficult. In fact, back in Acts chapter 13, that's the place where Paul and Barnabas were threatened by the crowd and where they actually stone Paul and drag him outside the city thinking he's dead. Well, we're not sure why Mark had decided to desert them. I gave you some reasons when we look back there. But whatever the reason is, he left them. So I want you to kind of imagine in your head for a moment that you're going on a journey, missionary journey, and there's three of you. One guy's the main preacher. That's Paul. One guy's kind of the assistant preacher. That's Barnabas. As best we can figure out, John Mark was kind of the guy that kind of took care of things. You know, maybe he cooked the dinner. Maybe he kind of got the tent ready where they could sleep or found a place where they could sleep. He was the kind of guy that did the tasks that allowed Paul to spend time preaching and Barnabas to spend time in lives. With him gone, you can imagine how much harder it was for the two of them to carry on in ministry. But you remember, they did still finish that journey, but now they're down one guy. So a bunch of the work's not getting done. Now they're getting ready to take a second missionary journey, and this missionary journey would be tougher even than the first one. Do you want to go on a missionary journey, a difficult trip like that, with a guy who had already deserted you? That's the issue. Paul's response is, no, I don't. I think there's a second thing here, and it's really kind of related to the first. Not only was he a deserter, but being a deserter, he was a quitter. He did not finish. Because he deserted, he did not finish the missionary journey. So they were lacking that man, John Mark, to help them on that missionary journey. So Paul says, look, I don't want him to go. Do you want to take a deserter and a quitter? Should we give a guy who deserted and quit on the first trip a second chance to go on the very next journey? It's not something that's clearly spelled out in the Word of God. And it probably would relate to whether you're people-oriented or task-oriented. If you're more people-oriented, then you might say, well, let's give him a second chance. If you're more task-oriented or goal-oriented, you want to get the job done, you might say, let's not give him a second chance. Really becomes sometimes down to personalities, which aren't clearly settled in the Word of God. In fact, let's try it. Mark quit on your first missionary journey. Everybody, you're getting ready to take your second missionary journey. You have a deserter and a quitter. How many of you are willing to give that deserter and a quitter, recognizing how hard their journey was and how much you needed that guy to do the things he did? How many of you are going to give him a second chance and take the chance he's going to desert you again? Raise your hand. Okay, put your hands down. How many say no? See, we're split about half and half. And you know what? Neither side is right and neither side is wrong. It's a difficult issue. I'll give you my opinion about Paul and Barnabas in a second, but neither side may be right, neither side may be wrong. In fact, probably neither side is 100% right, and neither side is 100% wrong. I think there are some clues in here to tell us who might be right in this situation, but again, it is difficult, and that's the issue before them. Two godly men, both wanting to do the right thing, but they have the difficulty of what are they going to do with Mark? Barnabas says, let's take him. Paul says, I don't think so. Depending on a lot of things, it could go either way. But I think what follows seems to tell us that, in probability, the Apostle Paul was the right one in this situation. So let's go to the second thing. Mark the result of their disagreement. Mark the result of their disagreement. Notice verse 39. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left. Commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord, they went through Syria, Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Ministry continued, but they headed in different directions. I want you to notice those two words there. In verse 39, it says they had a sharp disagreement. The words mean irritation. In fact, Lil Nida, one of the Greek dictionaries, says that the word is a strong word, which means a severe argument based on intense differences of opinion, a sharp argument, sharp differences. They didn't part company, you know, nicey nice. They didn't part company hugging one another. There was a pretty deep disagreement about what they were going to do. And Barnabas said, okay, if you're not going to change your mind, and Paul said, if you're not going to change your mind, I guess we're heading in different directions. Now, I've read a number of commentaries on this passage, and I think it follows kind of the thinking of today, that when you hear about church splits and you hear about differences like that, you say, well, praise the Lord, at least now there's two ministries going, but I don't buy into that. Now, that may be trying to put a positive spin on a very bad situation, but realize what we have here is a pretty bad situation. Two godly men, a great ministry team, get separated because they can't agree on what to do with John Mark. Why don't you notice what happens here? It tells us in verse 39 that they part company. Barnabas takes John Mark and he sails for Cyprus in verse 39. Now you remember that Cyprus was the home for Barnabas. So basically what we have here is after this argument, Barnabas goes home. And Barnabas and Mark are never again mentioned in the book of Acts. Tradition tells us that Barnabas stayed there in Cyprus and never left. In fact, Mark later reappears again, but he reappears without Barnabas. Notice that Paul takes Silas and he heads for Asia Minor. Now, notice that Silas is a much different person than Mark. Remember, we just saw Silas a little bit earlier, last Sunday, but a little bit earlier in our passage. You remember that when the church in Jerusalem sent this letter about circumcision, what salvation is, back to the church at Antioch, they send two men with the letter. Chapter 15, verse 32. They sent Judas and Silas, who themselves were prophets, said much to encourage and strengthen the brothers. After spending some time there, they were sent off by the brothers with a blessing of peace to return those who had sent them. So Paul wants to kind of get a guy that's the exact opposite of Mark's, the deserter and quitter, and he's going to get someone he knows who's going to continue in ministry with him, so he chooses Silas. We can say several things about Silas. He was the official that represented the church of Jerusalem, as I just read, to Antioch. He was a Roman citizen. Remember, Paul's ministry would be to Gentiles, not Jews, for the most part. Notice in verse 32 that Silas is a prophet. And again, because he had accompanied Judas with the letter from Jerusalem, he was well known by the church at Antioch. So Paul says, I'm not going to take Mark, but I'll take Silas. Now, I want you to notice what it says about this new team. Verse 40, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord, they set sail. Or they head off and they go to Syria, Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So I think as we look at the passage, it seems that the church in that day agreed with Paul that they shouldn't take Mark. How do I know that? Why do I think that? Well, they're the ones who are commended by the brothers. Barnabas is not. It is Paul's ministry from this point on that is continued in the book of Acts, and it's not the ministry of Barnabas. So it seems all the indications of the church, at least in that day, that they agreed with Paul in not taking Mark. But I think the end result is that it is really hard to come to an absolute conclusion who was right. In fact, there are some arguments for what Barnabas did, as we'll see in a minute. What we do need to, though, do from this passage is that we need to learn from this disagreement. And I think there are several things that we can learn from this disagreement in the church between two godly men that we can apply to our lives today. Number one, godly men sometimes disagree about ministry issues. Godly men sometimes disagree about ministry issues. As I said, Paul was probably not 100% right and Barnabas 100% wrong. Yet Barnabas, I think, probably should have conceded to Paul. Remember, Paul was the apostle. Being an apostle, he was at a higher level positionally than Barnabas. So even though Barnabas disagreed with Paul, I believe he should have kind of stepped down and said, look, you know, Paul, I don't agree with you, but since you're the apostle, I will submit to your leadership, I will submit to your authority, and I will go on this missionary journey with you. And as difficult as it is, we'll leave John Mark behind. You know, sometimes you can't just go to the Bible and find out, you know, a clear-cut statement on some ministry issues one way or the other, especially when it comes to an issue like this. You know, what do you do with someone who has failed? Sure, the Bible teaches a second chance, and I'm sure Paul would have given him a second chance, but not necessarily on that next missionary journey. They needed someone they can count on. So there is room for giving people second chances. But that's really not the issue that's going on here. The issue is, do we take this guy and have him fail on us again, and then we're left without a worker? So it is possible for two godly people to disagree and still be two godly people. How then do you deal with it? Well, I think the next step in looking at it is you would have to say, who is the higher authority here? For example, in a church. If you have two godly people and they're dealing with an issue that isn't clearly spelled out in the Word of God, what do you then do? How do you solve that issue? Well, you work your way up the authority ladder. And the highest authority as you go in that area of ministry, maybe it's a ministry area. So in our church, we have all our ministry teams. And maybe it's a particular team that's having a debate or an issue about something in the church. Well, the team leader ultimately would be the one who would be the highest authority within that team. Maybe it's another issue in the church, and you work your way up the authority ladder. And ultimately, there are times when we submit to other authorities. There's even times when I have... let me say this because you probably would never know it. But there are times when I have disagreed with some of our ministry team leaders about what they've done or about a decision they've made, but they don't even know it. Because if I'm working in a ministry team with a group, and if their decision maybe isn't a wrong decision, maybe it's just different than the way I would do it, well, we need to give those people authority to use the gifts God has given them, use their life experiences, use their abilities God has given them, allow them to do what God has called them to do. So sometimes I just step back and say, all right, let's let them go. Let's let them make that decision and see how God uses that. You know what? And when I've done that at times, I've sat back and said, man, I'm glad I didn't say a thing. Because if they had done it my way, they probably would have messed it all up. Promise so often that sometimes we had hard times with our pride. Sometimes we have difficulty with our, you know, everybody's got to do it my way. And we sometimes have an inability to submit to other people and to submit to others when we're trying to do the work of the Lord. But remember, ultimately, it is the work of the Lord. And it is God's work that we're trying to accomplish. So ultimately, who gets the credit for it or the way in which it is done? What really matters is that the work of God gets done. So we have two godly men here that disagree, and I think Barnabas should have submitted and said, okay, Paul, let's do what you want to do. I think, though, there are other times when disagreements show who is godly and who is not. Turn with me in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let me show you an example of that. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I want to read beginning in verse 17. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. And to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. So sometimes in a church, when the disagreements happen, it's not between two godly people. It's between someone who's godly and someone who's not. And the difference in itself shows that someone is wrong and someone is right. So That can happen too. But in the case of Acts chapter 15, that is not the situation we're in. It is very difficult to discern. Again, I think there's some clues to help us along the way, but it's really a difficult issue to settle. So understand and realize that sometimes we can have two people who really want to serve the Lord, really love the Lord, really want to do the right thing, and they might just disagree how something is done or disagree about a particular issue or disagree how to carry something out, and that can happen. So we need to learn to be able to deal with it without becoming disagreeable, without really becoming away from the issue and beginning to fight with each other, because these kinds of things can happen in the church. So we need to learn that from this situation. Let me give you a second thing. Disagreements may break up ministry teams, but they should never break up relationships. Disagreements may break up ministry teams, but they should not break up relationships. Paul and Barnabas were a great team. You're on their first missionary journey. They had done great things together. And this disagreement really just broke up that team. It was unfortunate that they couldn't solve this situation. And if we look at the words that are used, they did not leave in the best of terms. Their close partnership was broken, but not their friendship. Even though at this point they may have not agreed with each other, may have even been angry with each other, their friendship really didn't get severed. In fact, the New Bible Dictionary says it this way. Whenever Paul mentions Barnabas, his words imply sympathy and respect. In fact, even later on in 2 Timothy, we see that Paul and Mark actually team up together in ministry. So sometimes we do see people on a ministry team or people involved in ministry kind of heading their separate directions because, you know, maybe there's issues that they just can't agree on, so they head in their separate ways. But that should never break up relationships. Relationships should be stronger than issues. And we need to make sure that when there is a disagreement, when there is a difficulty, that we keep that relationship together. Number three. Third thing we can learn from the disagreement. Realize that people can approach the same issue from different perspectives. Realize that people can approach the same issue from different perspectives. And I've given this illustration many times, but I really think it helps us understand how we can look at things differently. Everybody want to serve God. Everybody love the Lord. Everybody want to do the right thing. But just come at it from a different perspective. What do I mean? Well, let's say a child is running through the house and he knocks down a lamp and the lamp shatters. Well, if you have the gift of serving, you may, without saying a word, go over, grab a broom, grab, you know, a pan to push it all in, and you just start picking everything up because you just have that gift of serving and you want to just run over and do that. But if you have the gift of teaching, you might just run over to the child and you know, just sit down and give him a lesson about breaking lamps in the house. If you have the gift of encouragement, you may run over to the child and just, you know, kind of give them a hug and want to encourage them. If you have the gift of giving, you might immediately run to the store and buy a new lamp. If you have the gift of leadership, you might sit down everybody in the house and say, all right, now how are we going to avoid this to make sure this doesn't happen again? And maybe get that person with the gift of giving to go get the lamp and get the person with the gift of encouragement to go over to the child and get that person with the gift of serving to clean up the mess. If you have the gift of mercy, you may see the exact same situation and go over and give a hug without ever even saying a word. Or maybe just expressing your love. But the reality is that we tend to look at things differently, and it doesn't just relate to our gifts. Relates to how we grew up. It relates to things we've learned in life. It relates to just how, you know, we kind of look at things and we just come at things differently. And for Paul and Barnabas, they were looking at the situation. Again, I want to emphasize that they're both godly men and they're looking at the same situation just from different perspective. Therefore, as they do that, their decision or their desire is different. And it creates this disagreement. Now, let me give you a fourth thing. Number four, there can be value in giving people second chances. There can be value in giving people second chances. Ultimately, Barnabas had a very positive influence on Mark. Turn with me in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 9. Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus, notice, he's also left. Then we come down to verse 11. Only Luke is with me. So Paul's in jail. He believes that he's facing his final days, that he's going to die. And he's saying to Timothy, look, come to me quick, because there's only one guy left with me. Some of them have left for bad reasons like Demas. Some of them have left for good reasons like Crescens and Titus. They've gone on to ministry. Only Luke is with me. And then notice verse 11. Get Mark and bring him with you because he's helpful to me in ministry. Watch this. Timothy, come quickly. Hurry up and get here because I don't know how much longer you're going to be alive. Paul's kind of saying, without saying it, you know what? I'm lonely. I need the comfort and companionship of my friends. I don't think I have much longer to live. I think I'm facing martyrdom. So Timothy, hurry up and get here because Luke is the only guy still here. But on your way, go find Mark. Take the time to go get Mark and bring him with you. Who is the Mark here? Well, he's the very same guy that we see in Acts chapter 15. Mark probably was not the best choice to go on the second missionary journey. Paul probably was right, and it seems like the church in that day believed he was right. But yet, because Barnabas was willing to give him that second chance, because Barnabas was willing to invest his life and still work with Mark and trying to help him get back up on his feet, ultimately it had an impact on Mark. Mark was able to get back in the ministry. And could you imagine, here's Paul facing death just at the end of his life, and what does he say? Timothy, hurry up, get here. But before you get here, make sure you go find Mark and bring him with you. Very same guy said, I don't want any part of on the second missionary journey. I want him now. What made the difference? The only answer we can come up with was his cousin Barnabas took him back with him to Cyprus, spent time in his life, spent time building him up, working with him, and ultimately encouraged him to get back in the ministry. Could you imagine how Mark was feeling in the midst of all this? Mark had deserted. Mark had quit. And now he wants to get back on his feet and back in the ministry, and Paul says, no. Guy was probably really down. And Barnabas reached out to him and helped him back up and ultimately got him back in ministry. So, you know, some ministry issues aren't always easy to solve. Some are very, very difficult. And the balance we need to strike in ministry, and I see sometimes pastors, people, churches kind of go one side or the other, and it's a difficult thing to balance. On the one side, we have people. On the other side, we have goals. People are really important, aren't they? And goals are really important, too. If we don't accomplish our goals, then what are we really doing in ministry? But if we accomplish our goals by stepping over people, what good are the goals? So the ministry act, or the balancing act that is always hard and difficult to try to work out, is to balance people and balance goals and somehow bring them together so we accomplish what God wants us to do. Be careful of that. Not only as we serve the Lord in the church, but even when you go to work, even in your family life. Remember, it is important to reach your goal, but don't do that at the sake of, you know, kind of destroying people along the way. But don't so kind of want to encourage people so much or help people so much that you never get anything done. There's got to be a balance. And really what we see in this issue here is kind of two men who are looking at it maybe from different points of view trying to find that balance. And they end up heading in their separate ways. Let's learn from this disagreement so that we don't make the same mistakes and so that we keep ministry teams together serving the Lord. Stand for a closing prayer.